You want to go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We're going to pick back up in our study through the book of Daniel. We're in chapter, we'll be finishing up actually, chapter 4 tonight. I think we'll make it through. Daniel chapter 4. You know, those of you who didn't know who that was, the Chicago Bears player, that was William Perry, old South Carolina boy, and not far from Greenwood, where I'm from, just right down the road. In fact, when he was playing for the Bears, when he was in the NFL, he actually built his parents a beautiful brick home right there in Greenwood, and right there in Greenwood, where I'm from. So a little claim to fame there, besides looking like him out there at the Nicholson City Park. But interesting little fact there. But praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to the coming month. This December, we got some special things going on with our. We'll have our teen Christmas party next week, and then we'll have the cantata just coming up here real soon. And I've been enjoying hearing them practice for that and get ready for that. Church, can I say this? This drama that they'll be doing, Goodwill to Men, it really, especially some of the parts, especially are very lengthy, and we really need to pray for our dear brothers and sisters that are participating in this. I just want to mention that because it's so important. As they'll the next couple weeks, they'll be memorizing their lines and reviewing them and practicing. And this will be another avenue to present the gospel to our community and to our friends. And so, although you may not be directly involved in the cantata, please be praying for those that will be singing in our choir there as they practice the next couple weeks. I know Brother Mike said, wow, it's unbelievable how quickly this cantata has come upon us and the things going on. And so I just mentioned that as sort of a prayer request. If you folks would put that on your prayer list, be praying for our worship and music team and ministry and the drama that it will just they'll come together just like it needs to, and we'll be giving some more details on that. I'm sure there are some props and things that may come up needed here in the near future, and hopefully we'll be mentioning those things. And then, of course, a way you can participate is maybe just take a couple of these with you. And give them to somebody that you know that maybe even doesn't maybe have a church home, and but maybe they do have a church home. They just don't attend there, and they need to be attending somewhere. And you could give that to them, and just make an effort to get people out to our church. We'll be providing just some refreshments afterwards, and just be a neat time to reach out. But, well, praise the Lord. I hope everybody's praying again for this coming month. I got a few things that we'll be getting ready for the new year. Like I mentioned, January the 8th, you can mark that on your calendar. That will be our vision night. I'll be mentioning more details about that. But that's sort of the night I will be announcing sort of my vision for the year, what I believe the Lord is going to have us do as far as just where we'll be preaching, or I'll be preaching, and where we'll be studying in the Word of God. Our theme, the Lord's given me a theme for the year. I'm just really excited. I got to be careful because I just want to tell everybody, but I got to be careful what the Lord has given me, and just not to spill it out until then, and just try to build up that anticipation. And then some special dates that we have that we're going to be getting a calendar. I'll mention more about this at the end of the service, but this year, it really helps me, all right, because my gift is not organization, so I have to do everything I can to stay organized. And one of the things I really believe is going to help me is I'm going ahead, and for the most part, now some things will probably need to be changed or modified as the year goes along, of course. We're not going to be stuck in a box in these things, but I'm going to go ahead and plan out the year. And I have planned out the year. In fact, I've been working with Brother Mike and Lisa, and we've been talking about these dates, and what we're going to have is calendars that we'll be able to distribute there at the beginning of the year. That's what we've been talking about, pictures for our calendar. And what we'll have it will not just be nice pictures or verses, but it will be the dates for our church calendar year things that will be coming up, like missions conference, VBS, camps, family revival conference, different things of that nature that will be highlights throughout our church year in the coming 2017, so that we can have it as a reference to be praying for, a reference for even planning our schedules, whether it be vacations or whatever the case may be. So I really that will help me be organized and my preaching and my studying habits and just getting a vision and a heart for the coming year and something for us to be looking forward to. And so you'd be praying about that as we make those final dates. And before we send that calendar off to be printed, we want to try to be sure. I still need to talk to a couple of you about dates throughout the calendar year, but I think we have most of them covered. But just be praying about that, and it's going to be an exciting time. I believe 2017 is going to be the greatest year of this church. I believe that. Not because of me, not because of you, but I believe God is wanting to do greater things. I believe God is wanting to use us. I believe God is wanting to grow us. And if we don't believe that, then we're not exactly walking by faith and trusting God to do mighty things in and through us. And how He decides to do that is His choice. But I believe the Lord is wanting to do a great work in and through us as we yield ourselves to Him. Well, you're there in your Bibles, Daniel chapter 4. Go ahead and go down to verse 28. Sounds like a lot of people got the same thing I have. Just been doing that same little coughing and whatnot, and got the sniffles a little bit. You pray for my voice again, and we'll get through it here. Well, you know we've been studying through just last message was the latter part of chapter 4. And again, we're talking about that second dream, that Nebuchadnezzar's had. And God, remember, the reason God is doing this, the reason God is using this dream is to get His attention, to get His heart, to get him to come to his senses, if you will, his spiritual senses. And by the way, that's God's desire to always be dealing with His children and always be dealing with lost people to draw them to Himself. That is the desire of God. And even with this pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, that is God's desire. It's His desire that he turn. And so we saw where Daniel confronted him, that the judgment was going to be upon him. This tree that was spoken of, that was to be cut down and to be destroyed, except for the stump, was speaking of Nebuchadnezzar himself and his kingdom. And it was a humbling time, but it was a time that we saw Daniel confronted him with respect and still showed it even in that. And then we looked at God's mercy, that the intent of God was to simply get him to recognize, get Nebuchadnezzar to recognize that, look, I'm in control. You may be a king here on earth, but you need to recognize that I am the King of Kings. I am the God of Gods. I am the Creator. And, of course, we spoke of those things. So then we finished up there in verse 27, where, again, he was being exhorted. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Hey, teens, mark that down. Remember we were talking about the teenage boys, we were talking about with David and how he responded to counsel. Here's another instance, young men, that we see counsel being given to this king and how important to take heed to counsel. But in this situation, we don't see it very clearly. But we don't see him respond to it very clearly, I should say. And the Lord's going to continue working with him. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us with this part of the message. Father, we do come before You again, Lord, just confessing our utter dependence upon You. I realize, Lord, I stand before these folks tonight. I am not able to expound on this portion of Scripture like I should in my own flesh. I can't. I know that. But I know if I'm yielded to Your Spirit, that You would just take the word that's given and use it in the heart of your people tonight, and help us to understand that you are constantly dealing with us and you're constantly speaking to us because you love us. And just even from the very beginning, Lord, as we saw you working with our father and our mother, Adam and Eve, Lord, how you spoke to them even in the garden, Lord, you're still speaking. So thankful for that. And I pray that you would speak tonight as we look to thy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see here in verse 28, it says here in the Word of God, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. All right, in verse 29 it says, and at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. All right, so we see here, first of all, the dream has been given. Daniel has confronted him and shared the news with him, basically saying, thou art the man. It is you, king. It is you who God's judgment is coming upon, because you're not responding. You're not responding. That's the overall theme that Nebuchadnezzar, he's hard-headed, like a lot of us, just hard-headed. He's not responding to God like he should be. And God's being merciful and trying to get his attention. And tonight, the title of tonight's message is simply this, Responding Rightly to God. And some of these things are repeats, church, but you'll understand that the Bible is repeating these things. As we've been studying through these verses, I don't mean to be redundant, but as we study an expository passage, as we do expository preaching, I go through the verses as they come. And God, the Holy Spirit, saw fit to be repetitive in these things. Why is that? Because we're just like old King Nebuchadnezzar in many ways. Hard-headed. God's trying to speak to us. So he says, listen, I'm going to make it very clear to you that I will deal with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. And by the way, that's a true sign of God's love. That he doesn't just leave us to ourselves. He tries and tries and tries to constantly always be in communication with us and speak to us. And it is our responsibility to respond rightly. Responding rightly to God. I want us to see, first of all, here in verse 28, I see God's mercy. Well, you say, verse 28 and 29, where do you see God's mercy? It says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. It's going to happen. But look at verse 29. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. So all this has been reviewed to King Nebuchadnezzar, and then there is a 12-month span before this actual judgment is going to come upon him. And I see that as God's mercy. And as we talked about the attributes of God this morning, the Lord just worked it out where we're going to be hitting on some of those things again, but we see God's mercy. We see God giving a time span for King Nebuchadnezzar to even walk in his palace and to review the dream that Daniel has given him and exhorted him. And anytime we are under the Word of God, and anytime we are under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, any time we open it up and we're reading the Word of God ourselves, we need to open ourselves up to God to speak. And then I heard it said like this a long time ago. I've never forgotten, and I especially hope our young people will take this to heart, and really all of our church, anytime we get into God's Word, whether it's personal devotions, whether it's a Sunday school class, or whether it's in a message or in a service like this, there is always, always an opportunity to respond. Always. There's no time. Anytime I'm under the Word of God, it is an opportunity for me to respond by faith or by obedience or by praise or thanksgiving or just humbling myself. Whatever, there's different ways to respond. But hey, there is a right way to respond to God's Word. And we see God's dealings with him and God's mercy. Now, I see here God's mercy, but I want us to see man's response. In this instance, King Nebuchadnezzar's response. What is his response after the dream has been given and the months have passed by? What happens? Verse 30. We'll pick up in verse 30. The Word of God says, the king spake and said, get it now, hear this. I don't believe I'm reading into this, but it probably goes something a little like this. Is not this great Babylon that I have built, that I, get that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might, get it, of my power. And get this, and for the honor of my majesty. Oh boy, it was all about me, wasn't it? It's all about me. Listen, is this not what I have done? I mean, look at me. And hey, listen, church, that's something we just really need to always be aware of, because it could that rascal will creep in a heartbeat, and I mean a heartbeat, a blink of an eye, and that's old self. That's that old pride. That's that just, hey, what about me? It's all about me. What about me? And that's what was going on here. There was no change of heart. We see a manifestation of pride, him saying, look what I've done. Even when God's dealing with him and had mercy upon him to reveal this dream to him, he didn't respond rightly. He responded with pride. And my question to you tonight, to us, is how are we responding to God's dealings? Is it denial? Or is it continually, well, what about me, Lord? Well, that's what King Nebuchadnezzar's response was, and it was not the right response. So then we see God, first of all, has shown mercy, and then we see God's judgment. And let me make that crystal clear. God will always extend His mercy before His judgment. He's always seeking to pour out His mercy and His grace before He extends His judgment. That is not His first reaction. It is to extend mercy, and it is to extend grace as we will respond rightly. But when the right response does not come to God's dealings, then there must be judgment. And that's what we see next. Look at God's judgment. It says, while the word was in the king's mouth, in other words, while he was speaking, what does the word of God say? There fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You get that? He said, basically, King, you're done. Not completely done, but I'm taking this from you. I've tried and tried and tried and tried to get your attention, and I'm finally taking it from you. Again, I use the illustration with children. We do that with our kids, you know. And now listen, Thomas, do not sling that thing across the living room again, son. You're going to hit one of us in the head, you know, and finally, boom, Thomas, I told you, you know, give me that thing, and I take it. Well, this is a much more severe case, though. He wasn't listening, and finally, God says, all right, I'm taking it from you. I'm taking it from you. And this is not something I enjoy preaching about, by the way, this point here. I don't enjoy preaching this point. But it's the truth, and I say it, and I'm asking God, I even asked God in the prayer time tonight, that, Lord, you help our church and help me, that to realize if God is speaking to us in any form in which He is about certain things in our life, we better respond rightly, or God's going to take something. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It is a reality that will take place, and who knows what will be taken. Now, let me clarify and qualify that. Just because something is taken from us in life, whatever it be, our health or whatever, loved ones, some things like that, doesn't mean that's God's judgment. All right? I want to clarify that. But what I am saying, if we don't respond rightly to God's conviction and God's dealing and God's speaking, He will take something. And something we need to be very sobered about and realize that God's not playing with us. He's very merciful, and He's going to speak. He's not going to be quick on His judgment. He's going to be merciful and patient. He is long-suffering. That's our God. That's His character. But there will come a time that this will take place, and He will say, Brinson, I'm taking this from you. Or put your name there. I'm taking it. Because you're not listening. But I'm thankful that God, just because He takes something, doesn't mean He's finished with us. And we see that in this man's life. So we see God's judgment. He's taken it. And what is going to be the response? Well, what is the judgment? We know there in verse 32, it says there, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And again, and then we're going to see verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled. So God spoke the judgment because he didn't respond rightly in the same hour. I don't know if he was, you know, the total scenario up on the roof or whatever as he was thinking and praying in his great palace and all his glory. And man, as he was there communicating and hearing the voice of God, the judgment was coming. And man, God did it right there in that same hour. That same hour, the Word of God says, that same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Now, that right there is about as humbling as somebody can get. When God will give you the mind of an animal to where you think you need to go and eat grass like an animal. That's exactly what happened. And we see that God put this judgment on him to bring humiliation. And that's where we see here the humiliation of the king. So God's judgment is coming upon this, coming upon his wrong response, which that response was pride. And we see that man humbled. And like I've said before, God knows how to humble us. He knows where to get us. He knows that. But then we see here the response of man, or in this case, we'll say the king. So we see, first of all, God's mercy. Excuse me. We see, first of all, God's mercy. I'm going to have to get a drink of water here. He did not respond to God's mercy. We saw man's response to that. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We see man's response was pride. And then we see God's judgment. Would I offend anybody if I put a cough drop in? Sorry about that. That's not a normal practice. But we know that God's judgment is real here. This is not a parable. You've heard the stories, and I've heard them, how God will get the attention of His children, especially His children, that are not responding correctly. And we're not responding like we should be. But then, here's a part that gets more encouraging. These are the ones I really like teaching and preaching. After God's judgment, we see Nebuchadnezzar's response to the judgment. And what was that, church? Repentance. Repentance. Look there in your Bible. Verse 34. And at the end of the days, that 7-year time that he was eating and acting as an animal, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Now get this, verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. we see here that man's response in this situation was, first of all, repentance. It was a turning back to the God that was dealing with him. We see repentance. Secondly, we see reverence. Not only a turning back, but we see a reverential trust and honor of him. So it just doesn't start, it wasn't just a turning back to him. There was some serious reverence and respect to the God of heaven. We see in the terminology there, as he says, I blessed the Most High. I blessed Him, the Most High. It was reverent. It was reverent and it was real. It was something that God, He responded to God's judgment in the right response. He didn't continue like an animal. God had humbled Him and responded the way He should have. We see He responded with repentance, with reverence, and then we see that He responded with rejoicing. Praise God. I'm telling you, we've all experienced it. At least I hope you have. If you're a child of God and you've gotten out of the will of God, if you made some dumb decision, boy, when you get back, boy, it's a time of rejoicing. Like, thank God the Lord dealt with me and, boy, worked in my heart and showed me that sin. We heard those testimonies from the teenagers when they came back from the wilds. And we've heard testimonies from the Thanksgiving revival that, boy, I'm so thankful the Lord spoke to me and revealed these things to me. Joanne and I were talking one night and just so grateful for what the Lord had done in our hearts during that meeting and thankful how He dealt with us. And there was rejoicing. So we see God's mercy. And then man's response to Neb's response to his mercy at first was pride. No, I don't want any more. I still want my way. Then we see God's judgment. Then we see man's response was repentance. Neb's repentance, his reverence, and his rejoicing. And then we see last here, the last point we see is another attribute of God. We see God's grace. We see God's grace. And that grace brings restoration. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God tonight, friend? Aren't you glad God's grace can restore us and put us exactly where we need to be? Even when we've gotten so down and out, even when our own wickedness has brought us to some pitiful and brought us to some vile actions in our life. Even the deepest of those things where a man would be eating off the fields for 7 years and living like an animal. And even with God's people, even today, when someone departs from God and they go out and live like an animal, I want to tell you, God's grace is still available. And God's grace is still able to bring total and absolute restoration. That's why when we look at people in our society and the fleshly thought is, boy, that person's gone way too far. That person's gone way too long. I want to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. His grace is able. Be reminded, my friend, of God's grace in this man's life. King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked pagan king, a wicked man that didn't deserve another chance, but hey, do any of us? I know where I should be right now. As I breathe, I know where I should be. But praise God for His grace, and we see some serious restoration here. I see six times between verse 34 and verse 36 the idea of restoration. He said His understanding returned Him. The man was brought to his senses. And I want to tell you, folks, when revival takes place into a church like this, God gives a spiritual renewal of senses. A sense of understanding of the glory and mightiness of God. It gives us a renewal and a restoration of our understanding of His authority in our life. And an appreciation for the Word of God. And gives us a heart of praise. Oh, that's what will happen. It says that, King Neb said, look, my understanding returned unto me. What else did he say? He said, my reason returned unto me. He said, my kingdom returned unto me. He said, my honor returned unto me. He said, my authority returned unto me. He said, my servants returned unto me. He said, God gave me all. And I want to tell you something. That, my friend, is revival. A restoration. Being those senses, those spiritual senses being restored unto us that have grown dull towards God. And here we see that a revival meeting is breaking out, and it's a one-man revival meeting, I believe. We see him, it says his reason returned unto me, and he says, and I was established in my kingdom. Can this be a reminder? I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm going to say it. Young people and all of us, listen. God knows how to restore us. Okay? You think about what that sentence says. I was established in my kingdom. The lie of the devil says, listen, if you surrender all to God, if you respond to God's dealings, if you respond to God's dealings rightly, He's going to take everything from you. You reject the dealings of God. You refuse to respond. He will cut you down. He will cut me down. He will humble and humiliate me. But I want to tell you what. You respond rightly, He will restore unto you. He will give you, He will increase your spiritual senses. He will keep you in a position of prominence. And that may not be making lots of money, but it will be a place of prominence, of being used greatly for God. And is that not the ultimate goal, church? To be greatly used of God Almighty. If I have to live all my life cleaning toilets and that's the way I can most glorify God, praise God, I'll sign me up. Hey, listen. A position of prominence is the position that God will put you and will put me as we come to Him and respond to His dealings with us. And listen to the voice of Almighty God. And that's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for my family. God, help us deal. Help us respond to Your dealings, to Your speaking. We see God's grace, marvelous grace. Hallelujah. Verse 37 in closing. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All whose works are truth, and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. Oh boy, you talking about somebody coming to their spiritual senses. He's simply saying, listen, oh God Almighty, You are awesome. I worship You. I put You above all. You are above all. And You are truth. You are truth, the Word of God says. And all Your works are truth. He says His ways are judgment. And those that walk in pride He is able to abase. Now listen, let me say this. Good men differ on this, okay? Some believe that Nebuchadnezzar did not show true signs of salvation here. I think good men differ on that. I lean more to the side, although I do not know for sure, I lean more to the side that he responded rightly to God's dealings. And I believe from the language that I see here, I see a man that it appears to me had a change of heart. And I do not see a pagan king using this type of terminology without truly meaning it. He exalted God as the Most High God. He recognized His ways as being truth. He put Him above all, and he realized that God is able to knock away all pride and knock away anything that we hold up from Him dealing with us. He responded to the grace of God. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Oh, hallelujah for the grace of God. I'm asking the Lord to renew our hearts for Him and to restore things perhaps that have gone by the wayside in our lives. to help us get back. The Lord, don't let me, Lord, that's my prayer. Lord, don't let me get into a position of King Nebuchadnezzar where I force you, God, please don't let me get to a place where you force me to be so broken that I have a mind of an animal. Where you have to put something so precious to me, such as my family or my health or something. Please, God, do not let me get to that place. Let me hear Thy voice, O God. Cause me to know the voice of Thy loving kindness every morning. That's why I encourage you, young teenagers. Oh, I pray for you. Do not grow dull to the voice of God. I'm not telling you to be sensitive to the voice of Brinson Jennings. Listen, I'm telling you to strive to be sensitive to the voice of Christ Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Respond to His speaking to you. He'll speak to you through His Word. He'll speak to you because He loves you. And He wants your heart. He wants your life. Taking heed to God's dealing. Responding rightly to God. You know, one of the saddest stories. I want to give this illustration because I feel like it just drives home a point of responding rightly. And that is the story that we've all probably heard of at one point or another in our life. And that's the story of the Titanic going down. And the whole story that goes into that, I'm not going to expound greatly, and I may miss a point or two. But from what I understand, there was a vessel within easy reach of the Titanic as they were going down. I believe it was the SS Californian. It was a British line steamship that was within an easy distance to get to them when they were in distress. And man, the Titanic, as they were going down and hundreds of lives were getting ready to be lost, man, they were giving off distress signals, which this ship did detect. They thought that for whatever reasons, they excused the reason they didn't catch it, but then there was rockets sent out, distress rockets that were sent out from the Titanic to get this vessel's attention. There was nobody responding. People are screaming. They couldn't hear it. The ship is going down. It's sinking. Ice cold waters. And the distress signals are going out, but there is no response. And I don't know if there's any sadder stories than that on here on this earth of people passing when there could have been help if it would have been a right response. That captain, first of all, being in the Coast Guard, I know anytime you even suspect even the slightest idea of distress, you go. You go. It's no waste of gas or fuel or whatever just to get there and find out. But there was no response. And as a result, we know the tragic story that there were hundreds and hundreds of lives lost, boys, girls, men and women that were lost because there was no right response to the signals. And can I tell you something, church? God is giving signals, not because He's in distress, because He knows some of us are in distress. He knows some of us need help. And He's giving off signals like He had been trying to do for the past 30 years of this wicked king's life. He'd been sending dreams. He'd been sending witnesses through the Hebrew men in the fire. He had constantly been sending signals. Turn unto me, King Nebuchadnezzar. And can I say, we can be like King Nebuchadnezzar and we can respond rightly even when we have ignored the convictions and the dealings of God. Responding rightly to God's dealings with us is of the utmost importance, church. And I don't know how God is speaking to you tonight or speaking to you in these days about something in your life, but I just encourage you, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm preaching to myself, let's respond rightly to God's dealings. Father, You know the need of the hour. Lord, so thankful You dealt with me in this area. And I know some areas that I gotta get on, Lord. You know that. And I pray for some folks here tonight, Lord, that You've been speaking to, but they're not responding.
Lord, I pray that they would respond. Give them the courage to realize that, Lord, you're going to take something if they don't get things right. Who knows what that will be? But only you, God. And I pray we would take you very seriously tonight, Lord, in your voice, in your dealings. And that we will allow you to have your way, not only in our hearts individually, which is number one, but then secondly, Lord, I pray you'd have your way in our church. As you speak to us as a church and what you want us to go forward in the coming years, I pray, God, that we will respond in unity and rightly to the will of God. Lord, I'm so grateful for your love and mercy and the grace that you extend to us. Even when we've made bad decisions, oh God, how it is always your will to give restoration. I thank you for that, Father. I pray that you would have your will and way tonight in the service, in the invitation time. Lord, it's in Christ's name that I do pray these things. And